Okay, let's discuss a topic that obviously can apply any day of the year, but especially post Shavuos, as we are here in the glow still of Kabbalah Satorah. Maybe the most famous Mishnah in all of Shas, arguably, but it could be up there. Could be up there, because this is the Mishnah that is chosen to say whenever somebody wants to say a Kaddish after a Mishnah. So this is the one that everybody knows by heart, and this is the one that everybody zooms through. And here it is, the last Mishnah, Maseches Makos. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashya Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Leficha Chir Balam Torah Mitzvah. Hashem wanted to give merit to Am Yisrael, and therefore He gave us a lot of mitzvahs. Right? So we all know the Mishnah. We all probably don't think about the Mishnah so much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Zakos, and therefore He gave us a lot of Torah mitzvahs. The question is, that we're going to deal with, this one question, and we're going to have a number of different approaches, is that really such a schus? Is it a schus to have so many mitzvahs? No. I would think maybe give us 10 mitzvahs. Let's focus on those. Do them really well. You know, be very excited about them. It's hard to feel great with so many mitzvahs. The Rishonim already asked this question. The Rambam has an answer. The Maharal has an answer. Oh, thank you.
It's Shaka.
What?
Shahakol.
It's Shahakol. Okay. Okay.
That means
it's been a couple of weeks.
It's been a while. The text is cold. It's crisp.
It's cold. It's okay. Very nice.
Need a knife too.
But probably one in the kitchen. Anyway, so the question. So the Rishonim deal with why there's so many mitzvahs. The Rambam, the Ramban. But we're gonna formulate, the question in a little different way, and that is, especially in the world of Los Hases, how is it a merit for us? What kind of attitude should we have when we approach life, and everywhere we look, there's a mitzvah to do? And every little part of our life, there's a way to do it, there's a way not to do it. Like, what positive attitude could we have as we say, Kihem Chayenu V'Yarach Yemenu, but how can we formulate, with so many limitations to our discussion. So, an important note before we start. Again, the Rishonim give ideas, but we're going to have other ideas based on Achronim. We look at mitzvot as a package deal. We don't pick and choose. We try to do them all. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a beautiful thought related to this in Parshas Ekev on the pasuk of Kol HaMitzvah in Source 2 Aleph. Right, Kol HaMitzvah, which Rashi quotes, the entire mitzvah means, Rashi on this pasuk is, Ana mitzvah nikra l'misha gomra, you have to finish the mitzvah, kol ha-mitzvah. But the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a different pshat. He says, kol ha-mitzvah. He says, what is that? What does it mean? Achein ha'ino yesh Moshe hiskil b'libos b'nei adam, ki ruach echad yitam kekatan v'gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, using his wisdom, that the following attitude. Should we say this for after, or should we give it on? Say it for after? What do you say? Somebody's really hungry, they can take some now. But I got a little too messy for now. Fusulam Lahamid Bavodas Hashem Balasim Piderach Achayim. And this attitude is a ladder to go down in Avodas Hashem. Vuhu ba'asos ha'adam mi mitzvos Hashem bezo gimel. The dangerous attitude is, if somebody does a couple of mitzvahs, me'asher tavona, v'ma gamim yachziku ba'achas b'kol mitzvos Hashem b'tmidus, even if they do the mitzvah a lot, we might have the attitude of, I'm going to focus on this. The other one is, I'm a Torah guy. Davening isn't so much my thing. I'm a Meiriv guy. Shacharis isn't so much my thing. I'm a Chesed guy. Whatever it is, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that often we might have the attitude that we can just focus on some of them. Umamod, middle of line 6, Umamod pasanegazeva pratpaleva holchim b'doros Hashem, lahavzos and mitzvah kalos, we'll see things certain mitzvahs are kal, b'doros Hashem lom de Torah. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's this pasuk. What do you mean, kol ha-mitzvah? We know, the Zohar tells us, he quotes it, on line 12, Ki ba'adam yesh ramach evarim v'shasagidim, right? 248 limbs, 365 sinews. They're connected. Every part of our body is connected. Another mitzvah, another asay, and another losa asay. V'hinei yishar adam bevo'al eiver ogid echad. What happens if you go to the doctor? Say, doctor, my pinky's killing. Doctor looks at your pinky and says, you have 9 good fingers. Looks good. It's okay. No, but my pinky hurts. No, it's okay. All your toes are working. And you have 9 good fingers. What are you complaining about? No, but the fact that my pinky hurts affects the whole organism. Right, it affects the whole, says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, every mitzvah is part of the whole unit. Kol HaMitzvah. And therefore we have to look at mitzvahs as a package. Again, certain mitzvahs talk more to us than other mitzvahs. That's true. That's fine. We're all different personalities. We all connect to certain things differently. That's fine. We could be more into, you know, different. If we go around the room now and I ask, what's your favorite holiday? You know, so we'll get different answers. But go ahead, that's fine. You know, and some people might even say Yom Kippur. Right? Purim, Pesach. We'll get all the, you know, Sukkos. But because we connect to different days. That's fine. But it has to be a package. And that's what gives us life. Aruch Haim continues to go into that. So the question again is, it's a package. What attitude could we have as we stand here after Shavuos and we look at the 613? That's a lot of mitzvos. That's a lot. So what should be our attitude? How do we look at it as a schus? Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. That's our question. How is it a schus? So we're going to have five quick ideas for the evening. Number one, and any one of these might be one that, you know, we connect to. Hopefully some of them we will connect to. But these are all ideas that have merit. Some of them have more to do with the los aseis. Some have to do more with the aseis. Idea number one, all relationships, any relationship in the world requires sacrifice to succeed. Requires my limiting my behavior because of the ratzon of the other one's behavior. Right? Focusing on the ratzonos of another is how to build a relationship. It for sure happens in marriage. Marriage is built on sacrifice and compromise and not doing what I want to do because, you know, other things have to be done. I might want to stay and learn for 3 hours, but if I see there's 3 laundry baskets that are sitting there and, you know, dishes to be done. And so, marriage is about sacrificing for others and of other people. Marriage.com. A relationship involves 2 people, 2 imperfect, selfish, and this is not on your sheet. Selfish, I could put that in the marmacomas, you know. No. 2 imperfect, selfish, independent people. Many people choose to end a partnership because of a difference or an inability to cooperate. Unlike fairy tales, true love stories lean very heavily on compromise and sacrifice to flourish. What are you willing to sacrifice to ensure your relationship is successful? Cooking dinner every night when you're tired is a sacrifice. Getting up 2 hours early each morning to earn the income your family needs by working overtime is a sacrifice. Marriages are full of opportunities to sacrifice, but they're even good for us too. So any relationship, a husband and a wife relationship, you know, 2 friends relationship, it's based on sacrificing, being mevatel, so to speak, what I want to do for the good of others, right? This is famously said by the Bali Moser. Maybe that's the message when you walk into a house, right? Walk into the house, you see the mezuzah. It's diagonal. Why is the mezuzah diagonal? Because there's a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, right? Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Whether the mezuzah is supposed to be vertical or horizontal. So what do? Smack in the middle, right? Smack in the middle. So you might ask, that's nobody's shita, right? But if you look in the Gemara, no, it's everybody's shita. It could be everybody's shita because each of them don't say that it has to be this way, it's just that it can't be the other way. And so if you do it diagonally, you're good according to everybody. But that's sacrifice. But again, that's what the Rambam quotes in Yeridaya. Medaktakin Yosi de Shneyam, Vakovan Chesia Bezakifa, Vachesia Beshiva, Kinun Kefufa. Okay? But that applies to any relationship, but it applies to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. If we mold our life based on the Ratzon Hashem, and the Ratzon Hashem is the 613. That is the Ratzon Hashem. Do we understand every one of them? No. But do we know and we believe that this is the Ratzon Hashem? Yes. 365, 248. When we sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we limit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself deepens the relationship. That itself deepens the relationship. Right? The Sefer Ikarim writes, right? This is the marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love the Sefer Ikar. Not that I know too many of them. But at the end of towards the end of the Sefer, Rabbi Yosef Abba writes about the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Right? The first covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Avraham Avinu. What does Bein HaBesarim mean? What's Basar? It means the part, the halves. Besara means the days of old, Rashi quotes, that they used to, how they make a covenant between two parties, make an agreement. You cut an animal in half, you put it on the two sides of the road, and the parties who have the agreement walk in between the part halves of the animal. Sounds very unusual. Like, why is that the way to make an agreement? Why was that the way to make a covenant? You cut an animal in half, and you walk in between. So says the Sefer HaYikarim, Bris Yomar al Ezekiyum Oshvua, Vidavar Kayam Anasa Bein Shnei Karse Bris, Lekesher Ha'ava Bein Shneim. A bris means a connection between two when two want to become one. That's the message of a covenant. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant, a connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, what did he do? It was two becoming one. How do you symbolize two becoming one? You take a whole item that was made by Hashem. This table is one, but really, is it really one unit? We made it into a unit, but it's not a natural unit. It really was a tree. You take an animal, which is a unit, and you cut it in half. So those are two halves. You walk in between as if to say, we are no longer one in one. We're two halves of a unit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that with Avraham Avinu. Again, I'm not going to read everything inside. But you have it there in source number 3. Ki'ilu shne ki'ilu heim guf echad. V'yishbar kol echad meyem eschavir kishmiras v'satzma. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. He created a pact with us that we are the other half. And therefore, whenever we give, whenever we sacrifice, whenever we limit, so that deepens the relationship. Just like in a marriage. Just like two friends. What if I'm, you know, any little thing, I wait for you. So we can walk together. I'm sacrificing for myself. But that's what builds the relationship. Right? We mentioned often the drush on the line in Shabbos Laman Aleph. Kavati itim la Torah. Did you set aside time for Torah? Not just set aside time for Torah. Kava itim la Torah. Did you set your itim? Did you set the times of your life to the Torah? Not the Torah to the itim. Don't fit Torah in into your life. Fit your life into Torah. That's message number one. There are so many mitzvos, and there are limitations, but that itself deepens the relationship, right? The Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Batel ritzoncha b'pnei ritzono, k'dei sheivata ritzon acherim b'pnei ritzoncha. There's even an idea, so we sacrifice for Hashem, what about the other way? There's even an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sacrifices for us. Sounds unusual. What does Hashem sacrifice for us? So there is an idea in Kabbalah, which we're not getting into now, but there's an idea of tzimtzum. What does tzimtzum mean? Making smaller. Hashem is Melech HaAretz Kvodo. Hashem fills the whole world. He contracted himself, whatever that means. Hashem doesn't take up space. But he contracted himself in order to allow the world to exist. So that itself is an act of sacrifice by Hashem in order for us to exist. Right, that is the idea. The Meshech Chachma writes in source number 6, Hatzelem ha'eloki hu ha'bechir ha'chavshis b'li teva machriya. Hashem fills the whole world, but he gives us free choice. What are you free? How can we have free choice? He fills the whole world. He affects everything. He decides everything. The answer is no. He holds himself back in order to give man free choice. Ki ein yediyas ba nosefes ki yediya. His knowledge is not like our knowledge, as the Rambam explains. Somehow he knows even before we do it. But again, that's the idea is one of sacrifice, the idea is one of giving, and that is message number one of mitzvos. When we're limited, we should recognize, okay, that deepens the relationship, number one. Number two, second idea of mitzvos. Freedom. Number one, sacrifice. Number two, second idea, freedom. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, source number 7. Al tikri charis el acherus, she'en lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'talmud Torah. Somebody's only free who's osik b'Torah. So if you ask an outsider, which we'll get back to later. What does that mean? Free? You know, how are you free when you can't drive on Shabbos? How are you free when you can't... You know, what do you mean? That's just the opposite of free. Says Rabbi Lau in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, great set. You're going to get a nice six-volume set. It's a big, fat set. But former chief rabbi, Rishon Meir Lau, in source number 8, he says, "B'chol zos musko Rishon hadvarma orim tamiya." And in zesha osik b'tor hu ben chorin, who knows the emotional tari mitzvah? It's just the opposite. Isn't it the opposite? Says Rabbi Lau, no. L'maisa ein lecha adam shu chafshi lasos ritzono. If you think about it, there's nobody in life that's free. You know, we're meshubed, we're slaves. What's the biggest slavery out there today? Slavery to our phones. I remember I read this story once, this article, a number of years ago. Remember, there was an article that was written by a grandfather who wanted to take his granddaughter out for her graduation. So, great. He's taking her out to this nice fancy restaurant, and he says just one condition. You have to leave your phone in the car. Taking out your graduation, you have to leave your phone in the car. And she said, I can't go. I'd love to, Grandpa, but that's the mindset. So what, there's no slavery today? There's no shibud? There's freedom? Freedom of certain rules? Freedom of what's societally accepted? Or meshubit to a lot of things. Meshubit to cars, meshubit to money, meshubit to sports. I should really go to sleep now, but I have to know about that game. You know, it's the playoffs. I do. I have to stay up. You know, it's my team playing. You know, so we're Meshubit. So there are many things that we can be slaves to. Some people are Meshubit to exercise. Right? What's Yehari Valyavar in your life? What is the most, what's not moving? Nobody can do what they want. Sometimes what you want to do, you know, is not what you can do. The Torah takes all of the Olam Hazeh out of the picture and gives you free choice and allows you to, you know, live in a different free way. What does that mean, free? There's a beautiful story told by TABC voice here. Right, by Chaim Jachter in The Reason to Believe in source number 9. Tells a fascinating story. A rabbi who was raised as a non-observant Jew relates the following incident. He had decided to experiment and experience one Shabbos during his visit to Israel. He stayed at a yeshiva for Bali Tshuva, where he loved the Friday night davening, dinner, came back, wonderful. He comes back to his dorm room, the lights on. First Shabbos he's from. First Shabbos. Okay, what do I do? I'm not really frum yet. I'm kind of like... I didn't like cross the border yet. On the one hand, he was not yet observant. He was inclined to turn the light off in order to get a proper night's sleep, as he would have had on any other Friday night. On the other hand, he said, yeah, I said I was going to try. I said I was going to give it one shot. He didn't turn it off. He went to sleep. He didn't have such a great sleep. The next morning, he woke up tired from lack of proper sleep, but exhilarated over his ability to control himself. Never before had he experienced such a profound sense of satisfaction. The angel side of his personality was finally gratified. The thrill became his prime motivation to become such a Torah observant Jew. Such deep satisfaction can be experienced when one refrains from an activity that is forbidden. I can control myself. I'm free to control whatever I want. Remember we discussed weeks ago, when we discussed Shovim. So one we mentioned then from Revolbi. Revolbi says, you know, what he said five times. We said maybe once. You know, once a day, say no to something that you want. Whether it's a candy, whether it's something. To teach ourselves that we're in control. We're in control. Nobody's controlling us. That's what mitzvahs teach us. To give us freedom of control. Like, I have freedom of choice. I could choose. Again, sometimes I have to make sure to choose the right way. I could choose the wrong way. We're not allowed to choose. We have, you know, we have the freedom to choose. But some things are also to choose. But that's number two. So we have sacrifice, building relationships, and mitzvahs give us freedom. Freedom from everything else in life. Number three. Third idea. There are real, solid, even Olam Hazeh benefits. Not just Olam Haba. Obviously Olam Haba benefits. But what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Source 11, V'shamarta eschuka v'zbizvosav, asher anochi misavcha yom, asher yitav l'cha l'vanecha acharecha. It'll be good for you and your kids, l'mantarech yamim. It'll be good for you. What do you mean good? So again, you might say, oh, it's referring to Olam Haba. No, but if you think about it, if we think to even take examples, there are practical and personal realms where mitzvahs are good for us. The Rambam writes this also in Yesod HaTorah. The Rambam in Source 13, where he talks about metaphysics, and then he says, we should spend our time on Gemara and Abaye and Rava. He says, V'ani Omer, third line, She'ein ra'ui l'tayel b'pardes. You shouldn't be metayel in the orchard. The orchard is secrets of the Torah. B'pardes. Ela misha nismali kreso lecha v'basar. You have to be full of meat and bread. You could get dessert if you had the main course. If you didn't, you can't just eat dessert. It's going to make you sick. Right, so what's bread and meat? Havayis davay barava. That's shas. That's halacha. You have to fill your... Sometimes we can spend our whole life without getting dessert. That's okay. That's okay. But you can't just have dessert. Imagine you have a whole meal of whipped cream. How are you going to feel after that? It's like all air and gas and like... Maybe the first spoonful will taste good. That'll make you sick. Right? The whole meal is whipped cream. Says the Rambam, no. The lechem u'basar leita ha'asar v'amutar v'chayotim v'shar mitzvahs. But sometimes people jump to Kabbalah without knowing like what Shabbos is. It's like whipped cream and so it just makes you sick. Because v'afal pishet dvaram eilu davar katan karos en chachamim. And even though they're called davar katan, they're really davar gadol v'chulu afal pikin ruin hilak diman. You're supposed to focus on them. Why? The Rambam says, "Hein miyash ben daitur shaladam tchila." First, they stabilize your das. Va'od sheheim hatova hagdola sheishpia kadosh baruch hu liyishav olam hazeh. It's the greatest good that Hashem gave to society. This olam hazeh, they linchol chayim haba, in order to eventually get olam haba. But it's not only for the Rambam, maybe in this world. So what kind of benefits in this world? So first, on a practical level, obviously there are many mitzvahs that we could think about logical benefits from. The Gemara talks about it in Maseches Nida, right? The laws of Hilchas Nida, Taras Mishpacha. The Gemara says it's to keep the romance alive for many, many years. If a certain amount of time out of every month, the husband and wife can't touch each other, so that keeps things exciting. And that's the Torah, and Chazal had infinite wisdom. And that's what the Gemara says, Kadesh Tehei Chaviva Al Bailu Kishas Kisas Al Chuppa. So the wife is beloved on the husband like the moment of the marriage. Right? Or a story in Menachas, Daf Mem Dalad, about tzitzis. It's a fascinating story. Feel free to read it. That someone who was about to do a terrible Avera, and his tzitzis kept flying in his face and whacking him with their strings. Does that really mean that tzitzis were flying in his face, whacking? No, but it could be that tzitzis reminded him. He identified. You know, and that reminded him not to sin. Shabbos. Imagine a life without Shabbos. Rachmana litzlan. And as you get older, you realize, and you get busier in life, it's such a mechaya. It's literally mechaya. I mean, we appreciate it more, you know. Is it a machaya to turn off the phone? Or is it torture? Hopefully it's a machaya. If not, we have to work on it. But one day, even the secular world has, you know, I forgot the exact lashon. I read an article a couple years ago about, you know, a Sabbath something. One day a week, you know, no technology, right? Whatever it's called. But it's a time to unplug in order to really plug in. Right? It's not, what is that? They say it's a time to stop making a living and just living. Right? It's time to recognize life, to slow down. Rav Pinkus also has a beautiful thought in Source 16. He says, we do a lot of singing at the beginning of Shabbos. Why do we sing so much? Obviously, it's beautiful to sing. Sometimes when you can't really describe something, you just sing. If there's something so deep and beautiful and it feels, but you can't describe it, try to explain to somebody who never kept a Shabbos the beauty of a Shabbos. You can't. Try to explain to somebody who never tasted ketchup what ketchup tastes like. I have one of my children hates ketchup. I don't know how he was born into our family, but Hashem. But like, how could you like especially like everybody loves ketchup and you, like no. I'm like, did you ever try it? No. I'm like, how do you know what it tastes like? No. Okay, there's some things I never had and I'm not gonna have. Also, we all have those kind of things. There's some things I can imagine having, but some things like no way. Like, no. We all have our right. What does it say? Alatam balarech ein lehitvakeach. That's the Hebrew phrase. Can't argue about the taste and smell. But you can't describe something that everyone... It's describe Shabbos. You can't describe Shabbos. You always see sing about Shabbos. Because that you can do. So you can't imagine a life without Shabbos. So these are practical benefits. Practical benefits. But it's not just practically, obviously. It's metaphysically. And mitzvahs perfect us, right? The Medrash tells us. Medrash tells us in 17... Rav Amar lo nidnu mitzvos el lezarif ben esabrios. Mitzvos are there to purify us. You think Hashem cares whether you shecht over here or you shecht over here? The answer is no. Mitzvah Hashem, it shouldn't make a difference, but it's what He told us to do. And He knows what helps perfect us. How many times does the Sefer HaChinuch say over and over again in the Sefer? This mitzvah is there to help perfect you. By Baal Tashchis, right? What is Baal Tashchis about? So you don't become a destructive person, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Don't break the bones of the Korban Pesach. So you eat with slowly. Eat with Derech Eretz. The Big Day Kahuna, the Kohen about to wear a special Begadim of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because you act differently if you're wearing a suit or if you're wearing a t-shirt and jeans. Right? We act. So all these mitzvos, so many of them, are there to perfect us. And Hashem knows how to perfect us. So number three, real benefits. Real benefits. Number one, sacrifice. Number two, freedom. Number three, benefits. Number four, fourth idea. Limitations help remind us that we are limited. It's good to remember that we're not the Baal HaBos in life. And sometimes if we have limits in various areas of our life, then we're conditioned. We're conditioned to know that there's a greater power that's in charge. Because if we think we're in charge and then things happen that don't really fit our scheme, it's much harder to live with. Right, the Rambam tells us at the end of Temurah, what are mitzvahs? Kol elu hadvarim, k'de lakuf es yisro l'sakein de'osav. They're there to fix our midos, like we said before. Verov dine haTorah einon ela etzos meirachok megadol haetza. One of my favorite lines of the Rambam. It's wisdom from afar from the great advisor. Wisdom from afar from the great advisor. Mitzvahs are there to help teach us that He's the mitzaveh and we're the mitzuveh. And it's important in life to recognize that. Because when we realize we're not the Baalim in life, then it's easier to deal with events that we don't understand. Things that are out of our control. Little headaches or big headaches. If we didn't have any rules in life, it's much harder when things don't go your way. Much harder when there are no rules. When there are limitations, we realize there are rules in life and there's somebody telling me how to act. And that's okay. We've quoted in the past Rabbeinu Yonah, Pirkei Avos. Quotes, I looked it up again today. It's not in the Pirkei Avos I saw on my computer, it only has the first five parak on the real Pirkei Avos. Six parak it doesn't have. But in the Rabbeinu Yonah that I have at home, it has the sixth parak also. So I always thought, it's quoted from the, he quotes the Baal HaMor, Zerachya HaLevi. But I saw today, he quotes Reb Zecharia HaLevi. So I don't know if it's just a misprint. I don't know if it's, but I don't know. I always thought it was the Reb Zerachya. Maybe I remember from 20 years ago that Reb Zerachya, but it says in the Reb Zecharia. But what does he say? Lo yadati sheyadati ad sheyadati shelo yadati. Lo yadati sheyadati. I didn't realize I know something until I realized that I don't know everything. Once we realize that we don't know everything, that's already a level of knowledge that's crucial for us to recognize. If we're kona the mida of hispatlus, recognizing that we're not in charge, that helps weather the storms of life. And that's a very important and good mida to be kona. Very good mida to be kona. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, I think we spoke about this in my shir. We spoke about this, Rabbi Yaakov, in the shir right before Shavuos. Right after we left Har Sinai, where we left Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, after Kriyas Yamsuf, we come. We just had Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? And then we come, we're like on the highest levels, we come to a place and there's bitter water and bitter trees. We're like, uh-oh. And we start complaining. And we start crying. And Hashem had to teach us. He takes the bitter trees, puts us into the bitter, right, the water, and he gives us sweet water. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what was the message that we needed? He can't understand everything. Right? Not everything is to understand. But that's okay. Because I'm in charge. And I can take care of you. And I can take bitter trees and bitter water. And I can take vinegar and make it burn. Remember the story of Maseches Tainus. I can make vinegar burn like oil, if you really believe in me. But that's okay. Right, Rav Amital, one other next story, quotes that Rabbi Jacob quotes that Rav Amital said that when he instructs a Baal Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva says, you know, what should I start with? So obviously there are certain major mitzvahs, but he said Rav Amital always said, one Ben Adam Lamakom, one Ben Adam Lachavero, and one Chok. That's what he told early Baal Tshuva. Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lachavero, Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lachavero, great. And a chok. Why? Because that's also an important message. For us to recognize that there are chukim in life. By choosing a mitzvah they did not understand, the learners would adjust their psyche to recognize that it's not necessary to fathom every command of Hashem in order to function as a fully committed Jew. Or Soloveitchik has a beautiful line. I think he quotes this from his father. There aren't only tekus in the Gemara. There are also tekus in life. And that comes from appreciating that we're not in charge. And mitzvos help us do that. Chukim, but also, even if we don't understand it, sometimes mitzvos are more challenging. But that's a benefit also of having control of what we do, of what we do. And finally, the fifth idea. Again, sacrifice, freedom, benefits, limitations, and simchas achayim. Torah and mitzvos bring a certain simchas achayim and fulfillment that's hard to verbalize. The Arizal said anything he accomplished in life was because of his simcha when he did a mitzvah. Anything that he accomplished in life, says the Arizal, is because of the simcha that he had when he did a mitzvah. Right, and we have to recognize the schus it is. To skip Rav Moshe for a minute. We'll come back. There's an amazing article I just gave you. Part of the article on the last two pages from Rabbi. Oh, I didn't write what it is. This is, you can write on it. It's Rabbi Lamb. Drasha Ladoros. That's from Rabbi Lamb on Achumish. See, he talks there about a Gemara in the first parak in Yuma. So Gemara talks in Yuma about the Kohen Gadol. The week before Yom Kippur, he had to stay in this room in the Beis HaMikdash called the Lishkas Parhedrin. And there's about discussion there whether it had a mezuzah on it. So the Tanakhama says yes, because he slept there for a week. It was a residence. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's in the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't need a mezuzah, because it's not really a residence. But you put one on Midrabanan, so that people don't think the Kohen Gadol's in jail. That's the language of the Gemara. Why would they think he's in jail? What does that mean in jail? It means that if there's no mezuzah, that means there's not a real residence. It's not a real residence. So people are going to think he has to sleep in this room that's not even his house for a week before Yom Kippur. It's like he's in jail. Rabbi Lamb says, al derech drush. If you ask the Kohen Gadol, are you in a jail? He's like, what? I'm in the Beis HaMikdash now. I'm getting ready to bring kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to go into the Kodesh Kodashim, the holiest spot in the entire universe. I'm going to go in with the Avot that Kodesh Baruch Hu told me. In jail? This is the most unbelievable week. I could hardly sleep. Says Rabbi Lamb. More remarkable than this rare example of the concern for the opinion of the unlearned masses is the vast difference between the real facts and the distorted impressions. He's reached the zenith of his career in this marvelous consecration of the whole personality to the great spiritual tasks. And then he quotes, but this is symbolic of often what people think. Are you an insider or are you an outsider? The Kohen Gadol is an insider. The people look at him and say, wow, what a jail. He's in jail. But on the inside, like, I'm the Kohen Gadol going to the Kodesh Kodashim. How do you view the sanctuary of Judaism? As an insider or an outsider? If you look at the sanctuary from the point of an insider, you get a totally different view from that of an outsider. From an outsider, you can never experience that which the insider does. The subtle joys, the daily delights, the sense of newness and rebirth, the chulu. And he called Baruch the mashal from the Baal Shem Tov. This mashal? You have somebody looking inside a house. Somebody looking inside the window of a house with all the windows are shut and the doors are shut. He looks in the window and he sees people going like this and jumping and everybody's like, it's like, what are they doing? They're crazy. They're so weird. This must be like a home for the special, you know, people who are crazy. People who are, because he sees that. Then all of a sudden one of them opens the window for a minute and all of a sudden he hears music. And he realizes that they're dancing. If you're an outsider, you can look inside, you don't hear the music. If you don't hear the music, it looks like, what are you doing? If you're an insider, you hear the music. And that's what we have, the schus in, it's in Yahadus. If you turn the page, turn to the back. He wrote this in the 1950s. More than once do I recall from in my own experience being introduced to a well-meaning stranger as an Orthodox Jew or rabbinical student. To my infinite annoyance, there spreads on their face of the stranger the look of incredulousness and says, Orthodox, and you're so young. As if Torah were an affliction brought on by old age, a kind of spiritual geriatrics. How frustrating and often how futile that to explain that to be frum is not to be a fossil and to be a religious is not to be a relic. It's a schus and I'm very happy to be. Shabbos is not a day of gloom and restriction, but one of oneg. Bechulu, and in every area of life, outsider or insider. And those of us who are insiders have to recognize, Ashreinu Matov Olkeinu, the beauty and the fulfillment that we have by having every area of our life being able to be sanctified. It's not a burden, it's an opportunity. And how we tie our shoes can be sanctified. And how we go to sleep, and how we play ball. It's all an opportunity that we recognize. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, right, in this tshuva that I gave you, he writes this very often. He wrote this to a teacher, 1972. He says, the key message that you have to give to students is that it's awesome to be an Orthodox Jew. One less blot of Gemara, one less Rashi. You can't give off the impression, Rav Moshe writes, you can't give off the impression of Shartz Zayniyid. Oy, krechzing. To get up to shul. Says Rav Moshe, because that's not going to last to the next generation. You know, your students, your children will look at you and say, oh, it's hard for them, forget me. Shveretz is Zayniyid. We have to recognize that our life is totally, can be inspired, can be on a different plane. We have to just always look at it as an insider. And make sure we always have that attitude. Maybe just to end with the Gemara at the end of Brachas. And the Gemara at the end of Brachas. About Pappas. Pappas Ben Yehuda asked passes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is teaching Torah in public. And Rabbi Akiva says to Pappas, I'll give you a mashal. Pappas is like, what are you doing? You're going to get caught by the Romans. And Pappas himself was caught by the Romans. The Gemara continues, what are you doing? So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll give you a mashal. There's a fox that's walking next to the river. He sees some fish floating around in the water. So the fox says, where are you swimming to? Amrullah, they say, oh, the nets. People are trying to catch us. So the fox says, why do you come up here? I'll save you. Ritzonchem shetalu liyabasha? Why do you come up to me? V'nadur anivatem k'shem shedor avosayim avoseichem. Come, you'll live with me like our forefathers lived together. Amrullah, and the fish say, what are you, crazy? Even if we're in our water, which is our life support, we're in danger, we should go off our life support. We should jump up to you. So Rabbi Akiva was saying, at least I'm in Torah, I'm in the water of Torah. But ask Rav Asher Weiss, what was the fox saying? By saying, no, remember the olden days that our forefathers lived together? That's a lie. Fish never lived with foxes. What was he making up? What was he making up? At least he should say, come on up and we'll live together. What does he mean, like our forefathers lived together? Says Rav Asher Weiss, the message of the fox and the fish were saying that the fox was just trying to blur the lines of all life within the water and out of the water. It's all one big life. And the fish was saying, no. There's a big difference between in the water and out of the water. And Rabbi Akiva was saying, there's a big difference with Torah and without Torah. It's a totally different life. Totally different message. Totally different essence that we have. And we have to recognize that. We have to look at it as a schus. All the benefits that we spoke about, the ideas of sacrificing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brings us closer to Hashem, giving us freedom, because really nobody is free in life. Only the Osek Batorah. Everybody in life is Meshubit to something. Meshubit to a position they want to get, a Meshubit to a salary that they want to get, whatever it is. So number two, it makes us free. Three real benefits, like we mentioned. Four is limitations, and finally, Simchas HaChaim. It gives us a fulfillment of life. We just have to make sure that we're on the inside. And if we don't feel like an insider, we've got to work on it. In certain areas, but if you don't appreciate it as much, let's do the best we can, and then Hashem appreciate every single mitzvah that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to fulfill. Okay, we'll stop here.